Book 3, Chapter 20. With the assassination of Emperor Greyland II, the interdependency entered an official period of mourning. The executive committee, citing the shocking and tragic nature of her death, extended the traditional 5-day mourning period to a full week. The week went into effect immediately within the hub system and would be in effect in all other systems at the receipt of the declaration of her death. The executive committee, with Archbishop Corbane at its head, also announced the formal investigation into the particulars of the assassination. All evidence pointed to Countess Raphaëlia Maison-Perceau acting alone. A suicide note had been found in her apartments, detailing how she had managed the assassination and why. The latter, evidently, to protest the Emperor's inaction on the matter of evacuating the Locono system. The letter drew a parallel between the Countess's act and the act of Gunnar Olafsson, who had assassinated the first Emperor Greyland in protest to what he saw as inaction on the isolation of Dalasisla, which occurred in her reign. But of course, the executive committee could not simply accept that one too obvious answer without making a full inquiry. Greyland II's short reign had been marked by repeated assassination attempts and efforts at her removal, labyrinthine plans that had engaged the entire noble and professional classes of the interdependency. There had to be at least an effort at digging deeper, to see if there was more here than the obvious disgruntled countess. As for Greyland II herself, the closed casket bearing her remains would be displayed in state at the Imperial Palace for the first 3 days of the official mourning period, and then for another 3 days at Brighton, at Hubfall, for the public to view and remember her. At the end of the mourning period, she would, in accordance to tradition, be cremated and her remains interred in the imperial crypt on Xi'an, where she would rest with her ancestors for eternity. With those matters settled, the executive committee turned its attention to the next and far more thorny problem. Who was to be the next emperor of the interdependency? It was a thornier problem than usual. The emperor had died without either producing or naming a successor, meaning there was no official heir to the throne. This had happened only 6 times before in the history of the interdependency. It was not unheard of, but it was rare. History offered some guidance here. Whether the emperor had named a successor or not, the throne of the emperor was assumed to be the property of the House of Wu. This was by tradition, of course, but there was a strong, if unwritten, legal argument for it as well. The majority of the emperor's lesser titles, including that of regent of Hub and associated nations, were explicitly tied to the Wu lineage, and Xi'an, while technically the territory of the imperial house, resided in the Hub system, which was owned and at least in theory administered by the Wu family. At the very least, it would be difficult to place someone not a Wu onto the throne. The previous 6 times in which there had been no official heir to the throne had first been offered to whichever Wu cousin was the managing director of the House of Wu. If the managing director either refused the crowd, which had happened 3 times, or was judged not competent once, the board of directors of the House of Wu was then offered the task of choosing a Wu family member to ascend to the throne. Both times, in this case, the board chose one of its own members. In the case of the current concern, naming the managing director would not be possible. The most recent managing director, Darren Wu, was dead, and the managing director previous to him, Jason Wu, had attempted a coup against Greyland II and was currently sitting in a cell awaiting trial. No other Wu had stepped into the managing director position since Darren's untimely death. Proster Wu had been acting as de facto managing director for the family, but had not officially taken the title, and neither he nor the rest of the board seemed to be in a rush to put someone in the seat. Nor did it appear that Proster Wu had any interest in becoming emperor himself, even if he were the official managing director. All of that being the case, and having been fully briefed by both historians and the Imperial Minister of Justice, Archbishop Corbane, acting for the executive committee as its director and with their signatures and seals affixed to attest to their consent, formally invited the board of directors of the House of Wu to select the next emperor. Almost immediately came the request by Proster Wu to meet with the archbishop. The board, which had anticipated the invitation, had made its choice, and Proster wished to explain it to Corbane in person.
"My condolences on your loss," Corbane said to Proster when he visited her a day later in her spacious offices within the Imperial Cathedral on Xi'an. She motioned for him to sit once their assistants were dismissed and they were by themselves. "Thank you," Proster said. "I never met my cousin other than formally and ceremonially, but it came as a shock to all of us, and to me. I understand that you were, in fact, quite close to her, Proster said.
I was, Corbain said. She was lovely, and I don't mean that lightly. She hadn't wanted the role of Emperor, but she grew into it, and she let me help her grow into it. I'll be forever grateful for that. I will miss her.
Then my condolences to you, Archbishop.
Thank you, Director Wu.
Please, call me Proster,
if you wish.
Archbishop Corbain smiled and cleared the reverie of Greyland from her head.
Now then, we are not here to talk of the past, but of the future.
Yes.
The Wus have chosen our next Emperor.
We have.
Who is it?
Well, Proster said, and reached down for the document bag he was carrying. That takes a bit of explanation. Corbain frowned.
Why is that?
You'll see. Proster reached into the document bag, pulled out an impressive stack of papers, and placed them on the Archbishop's desk. Before I tell you, here are endorsements from most of the noble houses, major and minor, regarding our selection. You may peruse these at your leisure and have your legal people confirm they are legitimate.
Most houses?
There were a few holdouts, Proster said. The House of Lagos, which is not a surprise given how contrary they are. The House of Perso, because its local director assassinated the former Emperor and they, rather correctly, determined that their best option at the moment is to lie low and not do anything. A few others have relatively little importance in the large scheme of things. He tapped the pile. But this represents the vast bulk of the houses, the majority of the interdependent nobility.
Corbain looked at the pile. For you to have this many endorsements for your choice, you must have had some idea of this successor for a while now.
No, of course not. But when it became clear there would need to be a successor, one was the obvious choice to the board, and when we contacted other houses, it was an obvious choice to them as well.
After this lead-up, I can't wait to hear which Wu this is.
Well, that's just it, Archbishop. It's not a Wu. Corbain wrinkled her forehead at this.
What?
It's Nadashe Nohama Peten. Corbain gaped openly.
You are out of your goddamned mind, she said when she recovered.
Proster Wu seemed surprised that an archbishop would use a profanity, and particularly that profanity, but recovered quickly and shook his head.
There are very good reasons. She tried to kill the Emperor. Twice. She murdered her own brother. She participated in her mother's coup.
There's context for all of that.
Context?
Yes. Proster pressed on. I'm not going to pretend to you that Nadashe was not engaged in these events, but the context was and is her family and ours. Greyland's father, Otavio VI, made, on behalf of the Imperial House, a compact with the House of Nohama Peten to have a Nohama Peten as the Imperial consort and to bear a child of the two families to be the heir of his own heir. Then Renerid died,
because the Countess Nohama Peten had him murdered.
In circumstances that Nadashe was not involved in, nor had foreknowledge of, and Cardinia became heir.
The presumption by both families was that the agreement between the houses was still in force.
But Cardinia broke that agreement, and the House of Nohama Peten was left without recourse.
And that somehow excuses attempted murders and coups, Corbain said.
Of course not, Proster said. It is, however, relevant to note that this agreement between the Nohama Petens and the Imperial House wasn't merely about business. It was about dynasties and the rule of the interdependency. Nothing excuses the actions of the House of Nohama Peten in the aftermath of Cardinia's choice not to honor the agreement between their houses. But there is context. And in that context, Cardinia wronged the House of Nohama Peten. Not in the same degree or kind, but certainly enough.
You can't possibly believe what you're telling me.
I can, actually, Proster said. Also, I believe that the last thing the interdependency needs at this moment, when literally everything is falling apart, is a civil war with the Imperial House on one side and the Nohama Petens on the other. That's what we've had over the last few years, and you know it. It's what's gotten us to where we are today. We should be focused on saving the interdependency from collapse. Instead, we're playing palace intrigues. It's pointless, it's wasteful, and it's going to end in our ruin. The ruin of all of us.
You know this. I know this.
Proster motioned to the pile of documents.
And they know it, too.
Corbain said nothing to this. Proster leaned forward in his chair. Look, the Wus put Nadashe Nohama Piton on the throne as emperor, just as emperor, with very proscribed powers and responsibilities that she's already agreed to. She marries a Wu. She's already looking through the ranks to find a suitable match. And then, whoever she picks takes all the lesser titles of nobility, King of Hub, and so on. Their child, who will take the Wu name, inherits everything. And we're back to where we were before in terms of succession and dynasty. Back to what both the imperial house and the House of Nohama Piton agreed to under Ottavio VI. Everyone now squaring off to fight a civil war backs down. We focus on saving the interdependency. We save as many lives as we can.
Even if it rewards a murderer and a traitor.
Proster spread his hands wide. These are the times we live in, Archbishop.
We make the times we live in, Proster.
Sometimes. But we didn't make a time in which the flow is collapsing. That was something we had thrust on us, I'm afraid. He shrugged. And anyway, if we don't put Nadashe on the throne, what time are we making there? Do you think she or her allies will stop doing what they're doing? How many Wus would you like my family to paint a target on? I'm not keen on making any more of my cousins a sacrifice to the gods of war.
You want my assent to this, Corbain said.
I would like it, Proster said.
We don't need it.
We already have the nobles behind us.
But yes, I would like your assent and your personal endorsement and the cooperation of the Church of the Interdependency. It would make things easier, and it would have benefits for you personally as well. How so?
Nadashe is aware that her history makes her a contentious choice to be the head of the church and the cardinal of Xian and Hub. She is prepared to devolve those titles and powers onto you as archbishop for the duration of her reign, or your tenancy in the position, whichever is shorter. If your tenure is shorter, then the titles go to Nadashe's heir on your death or retirement. If yours is longer, you have the option of returning the titles to the new emperor when they take the throne. But the titles will return to the new emperor whenever it is that you leave your office.
Corbain shook her head. Not me, she said.
Pardon?
I said, not me. I can speak for the church when I say that it will not stand in the way of your choice for emperor, as foolish as it may be. And I accept your offer with regard to the cardinalship of Xian and Hub, going to the Archbishop of Xian for the term of Nadashe Nohama Piton's reign as emperor. But it will not be going to me. I intend to resign.
Why is that?
Because I will not stand in the cathedral, bless Nadashe Nohama Piton, and pray for her success, and be the instrument of her coronation. You forget, Proster Wu, that I serve with Nadashe Nohama Piton on the executive committee. I was able to take her full measure there. You are deluding yourself, sir, if you believe that she can be controlled or contained by you, or the House of Wu, or any agreements that she says that she will live by.
It's possible you are overly pessimistic.
You should fervently hope I am, Corbain said. For my part, I will wash my hands of it. You may expect me to announce my intent to resign the archbishopric and to resume my role as a common priest within the next several hours.
I look forward to meeting with your successor about the coronation.
I look forward to it as well, when it happens a month from now.
Excuse me? Proster said.
Corbain smiled. My dear Proster, I see you are not a particularly faithful son of the church. Then let me explain. As the de facto head of the Church of the Interdependency, and because there is in fact no currently reigning emperor, de jure head as well, I do not have the luxury of handpicking my successor. There must be a convocation of bishops. And there must be a quorum. The number of bishops whose dioceses are in the hub system is not quite the required number for a quorum, so there must also be bishops from other systems. This is by design, incidentally. If there are enough bishops visiting hub, as there may be, then we can use them. But we must also extend the invitation to bishops from other systems as well. The absolute bare minimum of time required by church law for this is a month.
Even if there is a quorum of bishops in the hub system.
Yes, the quorum is the minimum, The more bishops who can participate, the better. Usually, if the Archbishop of Xi'an plans to retire, we set a date as far in advance as possible, a year usually, not unusually 2 years, so bishops from N can appear if they like. But N is cut off from us now in any event.
And you won't perform the coronation before then.
Once I announce my resignation, I can't, Corbain said. I may perform the standard rites any priest may do, and I'm sure the church will allow me to continue to be a representative on the executive committee in the interim. But all my archbishopric responsibilities will pass temporarily to Bishop Hill, who administers Parliament Cathedral.
Proster opened his mouth.
All archbishopric responsibilities, except the coronation of the emperor, which canonically falls explicitly under the responsibilities of the Archbishop of Xi'an.
Proster closed his mouth again.
And before you ask, or don't ask but think, Proster, no emperor is legitimate without a church coronation. An heir presumptive may act with certain powers prior to their formal ascendance, but those powers are largely ceremonial and limited to administration of the imperial household. That's why we have an executive committee for the interim.
I see what you're doing, you know, Proster said. I should certainly hope so. I'm being obvious enough about it, Corbain said. But let me tell you, just in case I'm not.
You will have your coronation, Proster Wu. Nadashe Nohama Peten will be emperor. And on your head be it. But that coronation must be legitimate, and it must be by the rules of the church and the law of the interdependency, or your foolish game will fall into ruin. Which means, for now, you have to play by my rules. This is my last move. I know it, and you know it. But it is still my move to play, and I'm going to play it.
Proster said nothing for a longish time. Then he nodded.
Good, Corbain said. Then my successor, whoever it is, will see you here in a month. Probably.
Proster raised his eyebrows. Probably?
The bishops usually select the next archbishop from the host assembled, Corbain said. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes they'll pick one not present. When they do, that bishop must be notified. Then they must accept. Then they must travel. That could take months.
It's not likely, you say.
It's not, Corbain agreed. But it's possible. You should hope they don't pick a bishop from end.